Hi, I'm your host, Matt Stauffer, and this is episode 60 of the 5-Minute Geek Show, a twice-weekly show about development and everything around it. It's one topic per episode. It's about front-end, back-end, mobile, project management, design, entrepreneurship, whatever. If it's geeky, it fits. Today, we're going to be talking about just getting started with testing, usually testing on a pre-existing code base. This is a conversation I have with people often because usually the number of people who understand the value of testing early enough for it to get introduced to a code base early on. And this means not just the developer who says it's valuable to do tests, but also the person who's choosing how the developer spends their time, project manager, owner, whatever. The likelihood that all the different people all up down the stack of the project understand that writing tests for your project is valuable is really low. And if you don't understand testing, if you're a less technical person, basically what it means is you're telling the computer something like, I want you to be able to, at the click of a button or the type of a key, run a little thing that basically puts some input into one piece of our code and expects a little bit of different output. And so what we use testing for is ensuring that our code functions the way we're expecting. So at first it seems a little silly to write tests, but later you realize that it's really valuable because what if you need to make changes? Well, it's not easy always to remember what was the original primary function of this code. So if you have a test, that's kind of like both a documentation of what the original function of the code was, but it's also ensuring that it continues to operate that way. So we're talking more about testing in general and less about TDD, just FYI. So more common is the conversation where we have a pre-existing code base with few to no tests, and we come along and we say, you need tests. And first of all, there's the process of justifying why you need tests. And second of all, there's the explanation of where do we get started on these tests. When we're talking about that, let's think about it. And interestingly, the answer that I've given to people a lot is the best way to introduce tests in a pre-existing code base is every time something breaks, the first thing you should do is go back, write a bug, or write a test to show what the behavior should be, and the not broken behavior, and then fix the bug, and then ensure that your test is now green. So write a red test, you know, that's showing, hey, something's broken, fix the bug, and now your test is green. So every single time you ever fix a bug in your code base, regardless, you will have now introduced a new test. And that's good. That's helpful, and it's a really good way to get started. But let's talk past that, because that's only going to be, you know, you don't get any tests on the things that don't ever break. So what I look at it is, and so we're going to go backwards, we're going to start by answering the question of where should I write these tests, and then we can move from there to the answer of how do I justify that these tests are worth writing to a, you know, someone who may not be on board with writing tests around their pre-existing code base. The metric that I would use to decide where should I write these tests and where should I not is, what worries you most about breaking every time you write code? When you write a new feature, you modify a pre-existing feature, what is the area of your site that you're most concerned that you broke? Another way to word this is, what are the things that you're opening up in your browser every time to ensure that you didn't make any changes to that? Is it user login? Is it the homepage? Is it how orders are sent out? Is it a particular email or is it a particular view? Do you always check the footer to make sure the footer rendered and that makes sure that there's no break somewhere in between header and footer? You know, what are the metrics that you use for checking to make sure things are functioning correctly? And what are the areas that you're most worried about breaking? Then go write tests that test to those things. So if there's a particular piece of your site, the word fragile is really important to think about here. There's a particular piece of your application that's very fragile, that you're very worried about it breaking, and there's a lot of caveats that new developers have to learn about that particular thing, and it's not always particularly clear. It's a really valuable place to first write an integration or acceptance test on to make sure it's continuing to function the way it should be. And so what I mean by that is take that entire system that you're worried about and ensure that it functions as a whole the way it should. But second of all, if something is very fragile, it's very likely that it's too tightly coupled, that the system itself isn't designed well. And so that might also be an impetus to, once you have that integration test, ensuring it's functioning correctly, maybe go refactor that system a little bit now that you know that it's working the way it should be so that it can be a little bit less fragile and a little bit less coupled. So that being the case, it's now a lot easier to justify to our client or to your boss or whatever, why should we introduce tests in this pre-existing code base? Because tests in this context reduce fragility and they increase the ability and flexibility to introduce new features and necessary changes required by the business. So the greatest sign of a system that needs tests is fragility, the fear of making changes because you don't know what you'll break. And the greatest justification for introducing tests are reduced fragility and increased flexibility and increased ability to make change. That's it. And so that's, to me, when you have a pre-existing system, that's both the way to justify introducing the tests and the way for you to decide which tests should be written first. So that's it for today. It's a simple one. It's an easy one. It's almost 5 minutes, but not quite. So thanks for listening to the 5 Minute Geek Show. We're at 5 Minute Geek Show on Twitter, 5MinuteGeekShow.com, F-I-V-E, and you subscribe to us on iTunes or via RSS. If you like the show, it'd be amazing if you could share it with your friends, rate it in iTunes. Thanks. Until next time, this is Matt Stauffer, 5 Minute Geek Show.
You ready?
Right on my wrap.
Okay, can you say 5 Minute Geek Show?
5 Minute Geek Show.
Say see you later.
See you later, sweet potato.